Well, today, if you are joining us for the first time, we're talking about money. Lucky you! So we've been on a journey of generosity, and as we've talked about generosity, the big point that I wanted us to understand is that God is the most generous being in the universe. He's incredibly generous. And we see that in his creation. We see that in his attributes. He holds nothing back. And that he is generous in every and all aspects of who he is. He holds nothing back for you and I. And that is incredible when we think about that. And that what God wants to do is he simply wants us to recognize his generosity and then to take that generosity that he has given each of us as individuals and corporately as a church and then find ourselves redistributing it for his purposes. That's what this is all about. And so we've talked about mostly about generosity in the realm of our time and our talents. And so today we come to the treasure. And so that's money. And I have to tell you that if you're feeling a little uncomfortable, think about me for a moment, please. Here I am, the pastor, and I'm talking about money and how do I get paid because you give money to the church. Kind of self-seeking, is it not? How does this work? Well, it works because the Bible talks about it, and I could have somebody else do this, but I chose to do generosity, so I guess it's up to me. So where do you start with generosity? Where do you go from there? Well, we start with a joke, right? Kind of maybe to break the tension a little bit. So here's a couple of jokes for you. A pastor explained to his congregation that church needs some extra money, so he asked them to consider being more than generous, offering whoever gave the most money that Sunday would be able to pick the three hymns that they would sing. So after passing the plate along, I don't know how this all works, it's a joke, okay? The pastor glanced down and he noticed that somebody had given a generous gift of $1,000. And he was so excited that he immediately shared the joy with the congregation. He said he wanted to thank that person for who shared that much money. Very quickly, an elderly lady in the back slipped up her hand and shyly raised it and said, "I gave that." The pastor asked her to come forward, and slowly she approached. The pastor told her how wonderful it was that she had given so much, and he wanted to thank her. And he says, "You know what? You can pick three hymns." With great delight, she looked out in the congregation with a smile, and she saw the three most handsome guys, and she says, "I'll pick him, and him, and him." All right. Can you endure one more? All right. There are two men that were marooned on an island. And one man paced back and forth, worried and scared, while the other one sat back and he enjoyed the sun. The first man asked the second man, "Aren't you scared? I mean, aren't you afraid that we're going to die?" "No," said the second man. He says, "I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe faithfully to the church every week. My pastor will find me." All right. So when it feels too much tension today, think back on those jokes, will you? Where are we going to start with just generosity when we talk about generosity? Where do we start? Well, I don't know if you can guess where I'm going to start, but I'm going to tell you anyways. We're going to start in Genesis. There's so much in the book of Genesis, in these first three chapters, that describe God's heart and his passion and his character of who he is. So if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. God creates this world. And in Genesis chapter 1, and we start and we look at verses 29 and 30 specifically, after God creates the entire world, he says to Adam and Eve, he says, and God said, "Behold, I have given..." Oh, by the way, if you're wondering, where's the PowerPoint? There isn't one today. You just have to listen, okay? All right. Just so you know, I know. All right, here we go. Bill, I've given every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with a seed in it with fruit. You shall have them for food. And every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. When you look at creation, you see that in creation, God creates with this abundancy. I can use that word. This abundant. And in it, he looks at Adam and Eve, and he says to Adam and Eve, listen, I am a generous God. These plants that are here are for you. This water that is here is for you. These animals that are here for you, and the animals, the plants that are here for you to eat are here. Use it. It's unlimited. There's nothing that is off limits for you except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But everything that is here is for you. And it's not a little bit, but it is a lot. And that's how God starts off in his creation. He starts off with this great amount of generosity, not just in his creation, but what he gives to Adam and Eve. The world was theirs, and they were to rule, and they were to reign over it. They were to keep it safe, because it represented God and his abundant love for them and his abundant generosity. But what happens? Well, what happens is that Satan comes along and he plants a seed of doubt. And the doubt that he plants, a seed of doubt that he plants, is a seed of scarcity. Because what he's saying is that, did God really give you everything? Did he not hold something back? He plants this seed of doubt in their mind that maybe God was not giving them everything and that they lacked something. And so what happens is they take that fruit, is they buy into the idea that God didn't have everything, that God didn't give them everything, that he left something out. This aspect of scarcity. And they went into a place from there on, we struggle with trusting that God has everything for us and he'll supply everything, and that maybe not. And maybe if we don't hold on to something, we won't have it. Think about the Israelites. And as the Israelites come out of, and that's my next point, is the Israelites come out of Egypt, and they go out and they need food, right? And they're out there and they're wandering in the desert, and God says, listen, I will provide food for you. And he provides manna for them. And he tells them, you only take enough manna for one day. One day. Except on Sunday, then you'll take it for 2 days. Because I don't want you to work on the one day. That's why we're providing chili for you today. So you don't have to work. But what happened? What happened with some of the Israelites? Some of them didn't trust that. They slipped into this aspect of scarcity. And they took more than they should have. Because they're afraid that God would not provide. And it molded. It didn't last. And so they begin to learn that God's heart is that he is enough and he will provide enough for us. So they go into the promised land. You know, God chooses Israel as his top tier, his bestie, that they would carry a message. And he tells them that if you will follow me with all of your heart, you will love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind. If you love me with everything you have, if you place me as number one, if you trust me and you don't deviate from that and you don't take on another god or gods, that this land will be abundant. It will supply for everything you need. Trust me. trust me. And Israel falls to the temptation of not trusting God, and they fall into the temptation of scarcity. And they begin to claim the land as their own. This is our land. And they begin to take on other gods because God isn't enough. And they tumble and they fall and they collapse as a nation. But God said, listen, if you would just hold on to me and you would just believe that I am enough, that I am a God who will supply for all of your needs, you will see how I work. Trust me. But Israel struggles with that, and they revert back to the scarcity mindset. But God is not done. He does not give up on us, and I'm so thankful. Because while Israel adopted a scarcity mindset and struggled to trust God, we witness God's patient and immense love as he sent Jesus into the world to showcase once more his generosity. And so it's no wonder when you read through the Gospels that what you and I find is that we find Jesus throughout the Gospel not only will he challenge us on our mindset of a scarcity mindset, but he encouraged us to trust God for the provision that we would live in his generosity. And he teaches about God's generosity, and he teaches about how we need to trust him. So, got your Bibles? Let's turn to one of his teachings, and let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is making some incredible statements of what the kingdom of God looks like. And so he comes to the part of Matthew 6, and he's talking about what the kingdom of God looks like when it comes to money, when it comes to provision. And he states in verses 19 through 24 about where our treasure is. Where's your treasure? What are you treasuring? Because whatever you're treasuring, you will see that that's where your heart is. Whatever your heart is passionate about, that's where you're going to find your treasure is. And so then he goes on and he talks about how you and I should not find ourselves being anxious. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious, verse 25, about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will put on. Is life more than food and body, more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Neither do they sow or reap or gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than them? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your lifespan? What happens when we worry, folks? What do we add to our life when we worry? Stress. And what does stress do to our bodies? It wrinkles. Who said wrinkles? Yeah, it actually takes away, right? This is a little bit of Jesus humor here. All right? When you worry, you're going to add a single hour to your life? No, you worry, you take away from your life. So Jesus is setting this up, and his point is that there's these basic things of life that we're concerned about. What we drink, how we clothe ourselves, our food, our housing. And he asks us to consider them in light of birds in the air. These birds that fly around, they are planting seeds, but they're not really planting seeds, are they? I mean, they fly around and they do their business and that'll plant a seed, but they're not doing that going, hey, I'm going to plant a seed here. It's just what happens because that's how God made it. But God is the one who causes that to grow and brings that seed for that bird to eat. God is the one that causes that little mice to go on the ground and that owl to get that mouse. God is the one who does that. And these birds are not going, how am I going to be fed? The birds are going, look at what is there for me that God has provided. And a flower, look at the glory of that flower that is there. I did not know what a dahlia was until my wife started growing one. She said, I'm going to plant dahlias. Oh, okay, sure, great, fantastic. And then she starts planting these flowers. I know, who grows dahlias here? Yeah, they are an amazing flower. There's so many varieties of them. It's amazing how that petal just gets tucked in there. And it's like, I'm just amazed by the symmetry of dahlias. And God does that. He does, that's what he does. And he says, just think about that. How I care for the birds, and I care, and then you look at how these flowers are so wrapped in beauty, and I do that. And Jesus wants to say, that's who God is. And he brings in Solomon, one of the greatest and wisest men and richest men in the world who's ever lived, and he says, the flowers are wrapped in clothes that not even Solomon could get or have made for him. And that's who I am, God says. And Jesus wants to point that out. And so he says, listen, don't, in verse 32, don't have the mindset of the Gentiles. Don't have the mindset of scarcity as the Gentiles do. Have the mindset that your Heavenly Father is so generous that he will provide for you. And so in the practice, Jesus basically comes down to verse 33, and he gives the one basic practice. How do you and I live not in the mindset of scarcity, but live in the mindset of God's generosity? What does verse 33 say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It is a daily seeking God and his righteousness. Seeking him for who he is and what he is about. Seeking him that he is the one who created all things, that he will provide for you. I have lived growing up in my family, I have lived where we have had nothing. Didn't know how we were going to pay rent. Didn't know how the lights were going to stay on. We were down to nothing. My dad didn't have a job. Lost his job. Lost his unemployment insurance. Used that all up. Used up any government help that was there. We had nothing. I've told you this story before, but I remember the knock on the door. Actually, it was the car that drove up to the place we were living. And my dad said to us, go in your bedrooms and sit there quietly. I'm not answering the door. And so this guy comes up to the door and he knocks on the door. All of our vehicles were there. And the guy knocks on the door, and my dad's not going to answer. And he knocks again, and my dad's not going to answer. And so he says, Bruce, I know you're in there. Open the door. It was the pastor of the church. And my dad opened the door. And there were boxes of food. And my dad knew what he was doing. Now, in that time, I, as a kid, I lived in that place of going worried about where we were going to eat, how we're going to have a roof over our head, how we're going to have lights and heat. And I watched that day that knock came on the door and my dad opening the door, that something began to happen in my dad's life, or he began to trust God and his provision. It wasn't long after that that my dad, I won't tell you the story about how he got his job, but it was a miracle in itself that ended up providing him with a job that he could retire at. And he will tell you to this day that I am where I'm at because of God's provision. And I trusted the Lord. So, seeking first the kingdom of God. It's a daily practice of living in the generosity of God and trusting him. So let's move into a little bit of the New Testament and talk a little bit about the actual giving, all right? This is where it might feel a little uncomfortable. Actually, what do you give? Like, what do we give a tithe? Is that what we're supposed to give? Growing up as a kid, that's what I was taught. I was taught that we needed to give a tithe because that was the principle that was in the Bible, to give a tenth of what your gross was, not your net, not once the government took the money away, but the gross amount is I was given my 10%. And I've done that. I have practiced that. I have practiced that all of my Christian life. I have tried to practice it. I can't tell you that I've always hit that mark. And so, you know, as I began, though, to study this and to go, where does that 10% come from? And that 10% is what we learn in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, and many of you know this, so please bear with me. In the Old Testament, the Israels were told that they would give a 10% to the Levites. And that was going to help run the temple. It was going to give money for the priest. And it was going to give money back into Israel. But also with that, if you study the law, you would find that Israel was also commanded to give another 10%. So if we're going to follow the 10% rule, then what I want you to do is to look at what you're giving to the church and don't give 10%, but I want you to give 20%. Okay? Because now we're going to hold to... If we're going to hold to the 10%, then we should hold to the 20%, okay? Sound good to you? All right, I'm getting a raise. Yes! No. What is the principle that we find in the New Testament? It is a joyful heart. So we'll come now to our 2 Corinthians passage. And look a little bit about some of overall view of Jesus' teaching, because I don't want to keep us here too long because the chili needs to be eaten. But 2 Corinthians, you still with me? Okay, haven't lost you too much? Not too many people sleeping? Okay, good. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we look at 6 and 7, which was read for us. And I want to start at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, "Each one must give as he has decided, or she has decided, in their heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And the first part that I think is important is you see in there that you give according to your heart. So what's more important that I do as a pastor and we do as a church is we direct you towards your heart and where your heart is, because where you have your heart is where your treasure will be. What you're going to do with your treasure, how you're going to treat your treasure is where your heart is. And what's more important, not so much what you give, but where your heart is. Because I believe God does a way better job of directing you in all aspects of your life than I will ever do in directing you. My job is not here to twist anybody's arm to do anything in the church with their time, their talent, or their treasure. My job is to help all of us journey as we are all on the same journey of discovering who Jesus Christ is. So when it comes to our finances, comes to your wallets, your bank account, your investments, the question is what does God want you to do with it? How does he want you to treat it? What does he want you to give? Now, my entire life, I have looked at giving 10% because it's a great place to be. It's a great place to start. But there have been times in our lives that I have not been able to uphold that. And there are times where I felt so guilty, oh, God's not going to bless me because I haven't given my 10%. And I have learned this, I've learned that when I'm giving at the best I can, that God is in love with that. And it may not be 10%. And there are times where we have given over 10%. Man, it is great to be able to have to live in margins so that when there's a need that you can go, yeah, I can drop $100, I can drop $1,000, I can drop whatever towards that because it's there, because I'm not living beyond my means or my margin. I'm living below that. And so there have been times we've been able to give more, and there are times we give less, but it really is the freedom is that where is my heart before God? How is God directing me? And that is where the joy comes in our giving. Because I'm giving not out of being coerced into giving, but out of God directing me. I have been in churches that I feel have burdened the people into guilt into their giving and setting an expectation that is not realistic. That the church will set a budget that they're now demanding the church to meet. And that's not what we want to do here. We want to set realistic budgets, but then we work within that. But what we want, and what I want, is for us to be cheerful givers. To be givers that just go, God just wants me to give, and I'm going to give. I have never, ever had to be in a church where it's like, I don't know how we're going to keep the lights on. I've always been in a church that God has always provided. Sometimes we haven't met the budget we thought we were going to meet, but we've never been in the hole. God has always provided according to what he is doing. When God's generosity, when God leads us, not man, we discover the joy of generosity. So we come back to verse 6, and Paul talks here about how those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, and those who sow generously will reap generously. And it's easy for us to go, okay, so if I give a dollar, God's going to give me back $2. And there have been times where I have given, oh man, I don't know if I can really do this, but I really believe God wants me. And I've given $100, and I've turned around, and a few days later, I've gotten that back plus. But there have been times that I have given my $10 or my $100, and I've gotten nothing back except the joy of being obedient, the joy that comes. And the Lord, the same thing with my time. Oh, you know, I know God wants me to give this time, and I give my time. And there's a joy in the giving there. That's why Paul says that Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. But here's the kicker. That if you were to study giving in the Bible, and you're to study generosity, because that's what giving is. Giving is generosity. When you are to study that in the New Testament, you actually know what you discover? You discover this radical generosity in the Bible. A radical generosity in the Bible. Think about Jesus' life. He feeds a multitude of people. And there are leftovers. Now, some of you don't like leftovers. You don't eat leftovers. But there were leftovers. Jesus, in his generosity, did not just heal Jews, but he healed Gentiles. Jesus, in his generosity, loved not just a nation, but he loved the world. That's radical generosity. And that's who God is. And that's what he wants us to practice, is radical generosity. Because I recognize that everything I have doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. And he's just asked me to be a good steward of all that I have. Okay, I'm coming to an end. I am. See, radical generosity is helping the poor, clothing the naked, looking after the widows, not forgetting the orphans, and visiting those in prison. Radical generosity, Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, is that if somebody wants a shirt, give them two. Radical generosity of Jesus is if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, you go 2 miles. That's radical generosity. Tithing is what the Israelites did, but for you, at the early church, the early Christians, the only ceiling for giving was no ceiling. That's what it was like in the New Testament. You gave from the heart, however God directed you. So, for us, what I want us to do is I want us to practice the joy of radical generosity. I want us to be people who are cheerful givers. I want us to live out generosity, not out of scarcity, but out of a life of generosity. I want us to be known as, and I think we are actually, I think we're an incredibly generous church, and I want us to continue to be a generous church. But I want us to believe that we, when we live out of generosity, God will go beyond our wildest dreams. I want us to remember that all that we have belongs to Him. He's only asked us to be good stewards of His resources, seeking ways in which to redistribute things for His purposes. And I do believe that one way for us to redistribute His generosity is giving in the church. But I also believe that redistributing His generosity is giving our financial resources and our time and our talents to other organizations and to people around us. It is obvious that we could not keep a building or have a pastor if you were not generous. But you will never hear me plead for you to give. You will never hear me tell you how much to give. And as a pastor of this church, I will seek to lead us to operate according to what is being given and not beyond. I will trust God to provide, and I hope you will too. So, spiritual practice. I have it at the back, but I will tell you where I would like to challenge us to go. First of all, consider your spending and ask God and spend time asking God, God, how am I viewing my financial resources? Do I live with scarcity mindset or with abundant mindset? If it's scarcity, ask God to begin to change your heart. If it's abundance, praise Him and thank Him for the work that He has done. Secondly, pray and ask God how He wants you to move forward regarding your financial resources. What does He want you to do? Where do He want you to go? Third, I think this can be a fun one. This week, consider giving where you're not giving already. So consider this. If you go out and you buy a coffee, thank you, Ian. You had no idea that I was going to use you today. But maybe you have a regular habit of going out and buying coffee. Maybe you consider not buying as many coffees this week. And you take that money and you say, I'm going to give that money away. I'm going to look for an opportunity to give that money away. Maybe it's a meal out or maybe it is something else. And you're just going to say, I am not going to spend as much money in this area. Instead, I'm going to go to my bank account and go, I've got some money saved up and I'm going to grab this money. And I'm going to ask God where I can just give it away, where I can just be extra generous. Now, if you are a married couple, I would say to you, sit down and talk about this and ask, what can we do this week? Yes, married couple. If you are a family, sit down and do it as a family and talk about how God has, this is a great opportunity. Look at what God has given us. And we want to give some of this away that we normally won't do. And then we're gonna take this amount of money, we're going to agree to be this amount of money, and now we're going to look at how we can give it away and where we can give it away. Maybe it's spontaneous, maybe it's not. But what will it look like if you just did this? Maybe if you're a teen and you go, you know what, I got some money in my piggy bank, and you take and you shake that piggy bank out, and then you go to school, maybe there's somebody that you would just say, here's $10. What would that do to them? They go, why are you giving me money? God told me. Are you bold enough to say that? What would that look like if we just did that? That's the fun part. That's the joy of generosity. But oftentimes, to get to that joy, we have to put ourselves in a place that we'll actually do it. And maybe it will cost us something. A cup of coffee, a dinner out, something out of our bank account. But what if that happens? What would it look like in our community? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are a generous being beyond what we could ever imagine, think, or dream. And God, that we get to experience your generosity every day. That your love for us is boundless. It's deeper than the ocean. It's higher than the mountains. That, Lord, the simple part that the air that we are breathing is not something that we are doing, but you have provided, and it sustains us. God, we live in a country where there is more than enough. And help us, God, not to take that lightly. God, work on our hearts. Move us, Lord, to a heart of radical generosity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.